Today is Saturday, the 30th of September 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 101st session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And we have our Venerable Bhante, Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero, joining us in today's session, representing Nissarana 1A Forest Monastery. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome Bhante with great respect to today's session. And I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session as well as the live stream over Facebook. Our program will continue with an in-session practice to start with, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness for this session, and then we will move on to the question and answer session where we present the reports and any verbal questions or statements to Bhante for valued guidance from Bhante. Now, to start things, I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Hello, everyone. Today, we can do a mindful walking session as the practice part. For this, you need to find some space where you can walk comfortably. Probably like 10-15 steps would do. When you find this space, you walk in a comfortable manner and simply be comfortable in your walking and try to be present. Try to notice the present moment. Try to notice that your body is walking. When you do this for a while, you might start to feel the sensations of your walking body. Maybe you may feel the feet touching the ground, the texture of the ground, and which parts of your feet is touching, whether it's the heel, whether it's the toes. So these details you can observe when you are mindful. This way we try to walk in a comfortable manner and try to be present with the walking process. It's natural, time to time various thoughts come. Our mind starts storytelling. Time to time surrounding sounds are there. Our attention goes to those things. Time to time your attention might go to surrounding sights. So this way our attention goes away, thinking and various other things they might appear. But again and again, you can become aware of this process and gradually bring your attention to the walking body again. Notice how you feel the walking again. Is it the left feet that's touching? Or is it the right feet that's touching? So that way, we continue our mindfulness while walking in a comfortable manner. So this is what we are going to do. So all of us, let's go for a walking session. We can take about 15 minutes to do mindful walking. Okay, everyone, now you can return back to your seats. So that's about 15 minutes of mindful walking, just to give you an idea. So on your own, you can practice and submit a report about your walking practice. With Namanta, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merit for that. And next, we have the talk on mindfulness scheduled for today. I would like to invite Bhante again for the talk on mindfulness for today's session.
Okay, everyone. Today, we have a new topic. So let's take some time to discuss and see how we can relate it to our practice, the mindfulness practice that we are doing. Or the meditation that we are doing. Now, we are living in this modern world. And in this world, we have a lot of facilities. Let's say, if you want to travel around the world, you can travel. You can, various options are available. You can use air travel. You can use sea travel. So this way, various facilities are there, various options are there. So if you wish traveling, then you have various options. Then let's say if you want to wear various garments, those two are available. Different brands, different colors, winter wear, summer wear, various options are available. If you want to taste food, then so many options are there. So many options are there. You can find various restaurants that offer different meals. If you wish Chinese food, you can find it. If you wish some other type, you can find it. So a lot of options are available. Then let's say you want to order something, you want to get something. You can order it online. With few clicks, you can order whatever you like and it will come to your doorstep. So this way, in this new world, we have a lot of things, a lot of facilities are there. But there is a valid question. Although we have so many things in this new world, are we happy? Are we peaceful in our mind? When that question is asked, most people, they go silent. They don't want to answer this question. Although they have so many things, seems like they are not happy and peaceful in their own mind. Although they live luxurious lives, seems like they are not happy in their own mind. So when you ask them, are you happy and peaceful? Most wouldn't dare to answer that question. Instead, they go mute, they go silent. So what's the issue? What's the problem? We have so many facilities, so many options are there. Various options are there. In this new world, we are living luxuriously. If you want to buy a car, you can buy various brands, various colors. So many options are there. If you want to buy an electric vehicle, then you can find it. You can buy. So still, in this world, although we have so many things, we are not happy and peaceful. We are not happy and peaceful. And some research, they are showing that more options we have, more desperate we'll be. We have so many various options. If you want a car, you have a lot of options. If you want to go for a meal, you have a lot of options. If you want to buy something for your house, you have a lot of options. So in a way, although so many options are available, we end up even more desperate, and sometimes we get something, but we are not happy because our mind says we could have gotten something else, some other brand, some other color. So in a way, in this new world, although we have so many things, although you can order them with few clicks, still you are not happy, you are not peaceful. So in a way, this new world is fueling our needs. In a way, this new world is fueling our wants, our desire. We desire various things. The desire is like a fire. It's like a fire, and more fuel you put there, bigger the fire will be. So this way, again and again, we are fueling our own desire, and it's a never-ending process. It's a never-ending process, always feeding into more and more desires, always feeding the same power, same fire of desire. So in this new world, we are getting more and more desires day by day. We want to find new things day by day. So this is how we are living our lives. In a way, it's only fair that we are not happy in our mind. It's only fair that we are suffering in our mind. So that's the idea for today's topic, your wants and your needs. For this, there's this nice quote about it. It says, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you might find what you need. So that's the idea. We have so many wants. It's a never-ending thing. It's a never-ending process. Again and again, we are chasing after various things. Again and again, our mind is on fire, trying to feed our desires. That's how we function. That is the usual way. But a meditator, they're trying to find peace in one's mind. They try to find contentment in one's mind. For this, you have to stop feeding your wants. You have to stop feeding your desires. That's what you are doing. In a way, when you walk mindfully, when you do mindful walking, you are not going somewhere. You don't have a target or a goal. Instead, you are walking in a comfortable manner, and you try to be with the walking. It's a walk without a destination. It's a walk without a destination, and you just walk, appreciating the journey. You just walk for the sake of walking. So that's what we do as mindful walking. We stop feeding our desires. We stop feeding our wants and simply try to be. That's the very approach towards meditation. Then in mindful sitting, we sit in a comfortable manner. We don't have a goal. We don't try to achieve anything. Instead, we sit in a balanced, comfortable manner. Close your eyes and simply appreciate the sitting posture. Try to be with the sitting posture. That's what we are doing. We try to appreciate that our body is seated comfortably. We try to appreciate what we feel in this seated posture. There is no goal actually. Instead, you simply be. And even while doing your day-to-day activities, let's say having your meals, while having a meal, we try to achieve something in our mind. Maybe we think about some other thing to eat. See how the desires are feeding each other. You are having a meal while thinking of something better. You are drinking something while thinking of something better. You are doing your day-to-day things while thinking of something better. So that's how the desires work. The meditator, the practitioner, they try to simply be with the meal. They try to notice that you are having a meal. You are taking a bite. You feel the taste. The grinding is happening. Swallowing is happening. You simply try to be with that process. While drinking something, you do the same. So this way, gradually we try to be present more and more. That's what we do. That is our practice. In a way, we are stopping the desires for a while and try to simply be. We are stopping the wants for a while and try to simply be. This is the idea of the very practice. When you do this, maybe very first day you might not feel anything, but if you continue for a while, if you do this practice repetitively, then you come to realize, in a way, your mind is appreciating the present moment more and more. You can notice few steps while walking. You can notice few breath cycles while walking. You can notice few bites while having a meal. So this way, your mind starts to appreciate the present moment more and more. But it is a training. You have to train it to appreciate the present moment. Because the usual way for your mind is to feed your desires, feed the fire of the desires, feed the wants. And it's a never-ending process. But instead of feeding the desire, instead of feeding this fire, you simply try to be present with whatever you are doing. Let it be walking, let it be sitting, let it be doing your day-to-day activities. In a way, we try to be happy and peaceful with what we already have. That's what we are doing. Let's say while walking, we try to happy and be peaceful with what we already have. We are not aiming for something better. And while sitting, we try to be happy and peaceful with what we have. While eating a meal, in a way, you are grateful for the meal that you are having. Whatever the activity you do, you try to be grateful for that activity. So in a way, when we practice mindfulness, we are training ourselves to appreciate what we already have. Instead of having more things, instead of going after more things, we try to appreciate the simplicity of the present moment. And when you do this for a while, you start to feel comfortable in the present moment. Your mind starts to feel comfortable in the present moment. And when it happens, you can realize there is peace in your mind. I'm not talking about years and years of practice, but still, if you do like few days, maybe 30 minutes of mindful walking and sitting for few days, not even 30 minutes, let's say 10 minutes of mindful walking and sitting for few days. If you continue for few days, few weeks, then you start to feel more and more peaceful in your mind. you start to feel that your mind is appreciating the present moment more and more. This you can easily notice with few hours of practice. And when you notice this, it's a peace that you haven't noticed. Maybe in your entire lifetime, you haven't noticed that type of a peace. You always try to achieve peace in the future. What is future? Future is a better present moment. You are not happy with what you have, but instead you want to find something better. That is future planning. Then what is past? That's dead present moment. That is already dead, but you have memories of it. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. So you have these memories. That's what you call past. So always our mind is going after the dead past or unborn future. Again and again, you are trying to plan for a better present moment in future. You are trying to avoid bad things, bad present moments happened in the past. Again and again, we are missing the very present moment that's here in this process. That's what's happening. But the practitioner, they train themselves to be present more and more. Be with the walking, be with the sitting, be with the day-to-day activities. You are not 100% successful. But you can see at least like 3-4% you are more with the present moment. You can feel more and more steps. You can feel more and more breath cycles. Incrementally, your mind is more and more present. Some of the time your mind is lost, but still you can bring your attention back to the present moment. So this option is available. We can train our mind to be more and more present. And when you train yourself, you start to feel there is peace and contentment in your mind. Maybe you haven't felt it your entire lifetime, but due to the practice, due to the repetitive practice, you start to feel it. Now there are various similes Buddha is giving for this feeling or this peace that is arising you. Remember, this is not a peace that comes after a few years of practice. Instead, maybe a few weeks, few months of practice. And he is giving various similes to express this feeling. He says, somebody who was in prison, he was suffering due to maybe something he committed. He had to be imprisoned. And after years and years, he gets released. And when he is released, he feel happy and peaceful in his mind. Finally, I got out of that prison. I can be a free man again. So in his mind, he is happy and peaceful. That's one of the similes he's giving. In addition, he says, someone, he didn't have enough food. He was starving and he couldn't get food for weeks maybe. And after weeks of starvation, finally he has the ability to get some food. Once his belly is full, his mind is happy and peaceful. After so many weeks, now my belly is full. His mind is happy and peaceful due to that incident. Then he's giving another simile. He's saying that somebody, he was a slave for so many years. he was a slave, and after suffering so much, after years and years, he became a free man. After becoming a free man, his mind is happy and peaceful. Why? Because he is no longer a slave. So think about these ideas. Think about these similes. He's saying that the mind is happy and peaceful. That's Buddha's way of explaining being present. Be appreciating the present moment in your mind. Only after a few weeks of practice, you can see your mind is appreciating the present moment more and more. Your mind is happy and peaceful here and now. It is happy and peaceful here and now. Not in some future day, but instead in this present moment, your mind is happy and peaceful. So those similes are given to express that peace in one's mind. So what are these, this hunger he's talking about? What is this imprisonment he's talking about? And how one becomes a slave? All these are the desires. We are hungry because of our desires. We become a slave because of our desires. We are imprisoned because of our desires. Again and again, it's a never-ending process. Suffering, creating pain and suffering in your mind and body. Again and again, chasing various targets, various things. But still, end of the day, you are not happy and peaceful. So this is the very process. This is how the desires work. This is how all the wants work. But if you bring your attention to the present moment, then you might find that you already have what you need. Your body is able to breathe freely. You have something to eat. And there is no pain or illness in your body. You can survive in this world. You can travel freely. So in a way, we already have what we need, but our desires tell us that this is not enough. Again and again, our desires make us chase some goal. Again and again, that is happening. So in China, they have this, some, it appears like a blessing. It appears like a blessing. They say, may you live in interesting times. Seemingly a blessing, but actually it's a curse. It's a Chinese curse, because in this new world, we are living in an interesting time. Think about it, so many things are happening. Climate change, floods, various things are happening. Then some countries, they are fighting wars. Some people, they are starving. So you can see, we live in an interesting time. And being foolish, we are, we think that we want to live in an interesting times. We think it's a blessing to live in interesting times. But actually, when you live during such periods, there's no peace in your mind. There's no tranquility in your mind. Maybe you are one of the top people in this world. Billionaires, still, they are not happy and peaceful in their mind. They don't have tranquility in their mind. They don't have peace in their mind. So they try to find various options. They purchase the most luxurious garments. They purchase vehicles. They purchase various meals, different restaurants. Some of the meals, they are wrapped in gold. paper, still they end up unhappy, still they end up suffering in their own mind. So this is how we live. But instead, if you just get rid of these desires for a while, if you bring attention to the present moment, then you might start to feel that your mind is happy and peaceful here. You have to train it to be happy and peaceful. Initially, it won't accept. Initially, the mind won't accept the present moment. But when you train it for a while, with little training, you can find this peace that we are talking about. The present moment is blissful. You just have to give your attention to it. You just have to bring your attention to it. And you even feel that your body and mind, it becomes lighter. Seems like the gravity has changed. But actually what happens is that when you are present, your body and mind becomes lighter, more peaceful. Your body is healing. Your mind is healing. That very healing process will feel like you are floating in air. No longer the gravity applies to you. Instead, your body and mind is so light. That's how you feel when you pay attention to the present moment. So in a way, this peace that we are talking, this peace we are referring, that peace comes from the practice. It's more like a stepping stone for us to live in a peaceful and happy mind. You have to train your mind to be present, and as a result, you can live peacefully. In this new world, we have so many things. We have whatever we need, but our wants, they are always saying that we don't have enough. We don't have enough. That's how the desires tell us. But what you do is that if you practice for some time, then you can figure out that your mind is happy and peaceful in the present moment. Due to the practice, you feel incremental levels of peace within. That peace will allow you to live a comfortable life. That peace will get rid of most of the problems in your life. Most of the problems that we are having, the questions that we are having, they are not valid. You think and think, but that thinking process, it's a never-ending process. You live maximum probably like 80 years, but you plan for 80,000 years. Think about the fast plans. Did they work out according to the plans? Not at all. So in a way, you don't have to do this much of thinking. That's what we are saying. You don't need this much of struggle. That's what we are saying. You can do work. You can work. You can earn. But you don't have to suffer this much. You can raise your children. But you don't have to suffer this much. This mind is creating most of the suffering. This mind is creating most of the struggle. Again and again, thinking, thinking, thinking. Planning, planning, planning. That's how we try to resolve this. But actually, this faculty of thinking, faculty of wonder, that's not the true capacity of humans. Instead, you have a much greater capacity. What is that greater capacity? That's the faculty of awareness. The thoughts come and go, but you are aware. You are aware. We are not afraid of thoughts. We are not afraid of these thinking processes. They happen. But we observe, like a third person observing, you try to observe. When you have that observation, when you know how to use this faculty of awareness, then you start to feel incremental levels of peace within. The thinking processes, their power reduces a little bit. You can feel some space in your mind. Still the thinking processes are there, but there is more space in your mind. They are not occupying so much capacity in your mind. Earlier you felt the entire capacity is occupied by the thinking processes. That is how you felt. Their energy is so high. You feel like your entire mind is occupied by these thinking processes. But when you practice for a while, when you support the faculty of awareness for a while, then you start to see the thinking processes are there. The thinking processes are there, but they are not occupying so much space in my mind. They are not occupying so much capacity in my mind. Most of the time, these thinking processes, they are like white noise, the background noise. The noise is there, but it is not bothering you. You can function without much trouble, right? So that's how you feel when you practice for a while. You start to see the real depth of your mind. You start to see the real capacity of your mind. Earlier, it was occupied by the thinking processes entirely. But now, you have more and more space. You have more and more capacity. You get to identify the true depth of your mind. That depth, if you identify, then you start to feel you have so much capacity. Your mind is happy and peaceful. You can do things. You can work. You can raise your children. You can deal with people. But still, your mind is not... Your mind is happy and peaceful in the present moment. You work. You are not so much stressed. Not so much anxiety. You don't panic so much. So these are great benefits from your practice. Some people, they panic a lot. Sometimes they go into panic attacks even. Once you experience that type of a panic attack, it feels like dying. You can't breathe. So much fear is there. So these are results of continuous anxiety. That's how our mind is releasing the anxiety. So always panicking, but sometimes leading to panic attacks. Always anxiety, but sometimes leading to anxiety attacks. So this is how our mind is releasing its stress, releasing its anxiety. So you have to do something. You have to do something to prevent these things. Preventive measures are necessary, because if you go into that extremes, then sometimes you can't even come back. Sometimes you have to get medication for these issues. So in a way, it's better spending some time for the meditation and trying to train your mind to appreciate the present moment more and more. Trying to identify the real depth of your mind. And when you do that training, you start to feel more and more peaceful, more and more tranquility in your mind. So that's the idea for today. Think about the wants. Wants are always feeding the desires. Wants are always feeding the thinking mind, wandering mind. Wants are always feeding future planning. But when you bring your attention to the present moment, if you really open your eyes to the present moment, then you start to see that you already have things that you need. You can function well, you can breathe well, you can eat well, you can spend an afternoon with your children. So that's the idea for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Panthi, and much best to you. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Anupama to commence with the Q&A session. And I will share the screen for the beginner's guide introduction.
Thank you, Namantha, and Navasarai Bante. I hope you can hear me well. Hello, everybody. So I'm going to start by reading the Mindfulness for Beginners guide. A lot of you may know this already and be practicing it. But for those who would like a reminder or introduction, I'm going to let you know how to start the process of practicing mindfulness. So there are a few videos with basic instructions on mindful walking and sitting. And this will help in your practice and preparation. As you can see on the screen, we've got the two links to both these videos, which you can watch for your benefit. Once you've watched this, we would advise that you allocate a small time daily and start practicing mindfulness, both walking and sitting preferably, and continue this training for a few days till you complete at least 2 hours of each practice in total. Once you've done this, we would invite you to write down your experience in a reflection report. So you can do this either as a statement or with a question. You can write your mindfulness training experience under the following titles: mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can describe what you felt while you were walking and sitting, and what you recognized as you were walking and sitting and staying in those postures mindfully. Also, you can describe the prominent sensations that you felt. For example, when you're walking, you can feel the texture of the ground underfoot. You may feel certain pressure points on your soles, and also how your body weight shifted from one leg to another. You can apply this same thing to your sitting meditation or mindfulness practice. Again, you may experience sensations of your pressure points, maybe your incoming and outgoing breath at the nostrils, or maybe the movement of your breath at the level of your chest or abdomen. Once you've written this report, we invite you to submit the report to us via a Google form. The link is on the screen in front of you, and or you could email it to us. And the final point is to continue your mindful practice according to this advice that you receive following your report submission. And yes, all the sessions so far for Mindfulness for Beginners are available under the link on the screen for you to have a look at your leisure. I believe Namantha has posted all this information in the chat as well. So you're most welcome to have a look. So that's the introduction. I'm now going to move on to reading the reports. We've got one report today, and I will proceed to read it now. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and after a body scan, simply waited. Noted there were no sounds as it was early in the morning. Silent background felt calming. When breath came into focus, it was felt around nostrils area. Familiar rhythm of in and out breath noted. Temperature difference reduced with time. Thoughts emerged from recent past clearly and just watched these and they passed away. Attention returned to breath, which has become a bit subtle. Became aware that some thoughts were in the background, but these weren't clear. And the mind was not interested in looking for detail. Breath broke up and calm sensation in the body and mind noted. A long breath noted after a while. The cycle of breath disappearing and reappearing repeated a few times. Sat for 50 minutes. Calmness in the mind continued after former session, and there was increased energy too. Mindfulness in the week. Having been part of the Saturday group and making mindful living a priority, there are things that used to be difficult in the past, which now don't feel so difficult. Mainly noticing some deeply held past perceptions losing their grip. What used to be difficult events or difficult people are now experienced without the previous label of difficult much of the time. In complex or unexpected situations, now the awareness naturally returns to the body, for example, checking the posture, or to the mind, for example, checking what emotions are uppermost at that moment. Of course, this is a work in progress, so there are lots more room for patience and mindfulness. There were less instances of shock, upset, or anxiety while facing several of the complex situations in the week. Having the tool of bringing attention to the body posture or the mental landscape has helped re-regulate both parts, mind and body. Weirdly, it was also noted few times that while there is a body and a mind here, there is not much else. So wondered what the purpose is of reacting to stuff that would arise and pass away. It's funny, but feels true. I will be on a plane during the class this Saturday, so cannot attend in real time, but look forward to Bhante's valuable feedback via the recording. Much merit. Merit to Bhante and all the organizers. End of the report.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, if you listen to that report, you can see the ideas that we tried to convey during the talk, right? Our mind is not usually accepting the present moment. Our mind is appreciating these thinking processes, thoughts. But this person, after some practice, is saying that the background thoughts are there. Background thoughts, that's the word used. But the mind is not interested in finding the details of them. Right? So this is a very valuable observation. Your mind is no longer interested in finding the details. That's how the true peace will arise. Otherwise, we think that we have to get rid of the thoughts. Most of the practitioners, their viewpoint is wrong. They think that they want to get rid of the thoughts. That's not what we are recommending. Instead, we say, mindfully allow the thoughts to come and go. They come, they tell their story, and after a while they disappear. You have to develop, you have to be willing to face this process. When you practice like that for a while, then you start to see the thoughts are there in the background, but your mind is no longer interested. So that's how the true peace will arise. The world is there. The world doesn't disappear. When I say world, it's the thoughts, it's our senses, the surrounding sounds, everything is there. But your mind is no longer interested. That's how the true peace will arise. If your mind is interested in the options of the world, still you are not truly peaceful. So that's where the practice is leading us. You can see you are dealing with people. Some of them you labeled in the history as difficult people. But when you are mindful, when you know your practice, when you have confidence in your practice, you can feel you can still deal with them with much less friction. Now, probably like a few weeks ago, somebody came to me and he was having a complaint. He was complaining about a particular person and saying that person created so much mess in his life. He felt like he was revengeful, right? So he had a complaint. But that the third person, the person he's referring to, I know that person, right? I too have dealt with that person. So I told him, it's your fault. You are not skillful dealing with him. That's the problem. Otherwise, you won't feel this much of resistance from him. If you are not skillful, you will go blame other people. Blame other people because your mind is, it doesn't have the skill. Need to face difficult people, right? They might have various thoughts, ideas, their viewpoints. We don't care. It's our own mind that will go and grab on to those thoughts, those viewpoints. It's our own mind that will go and grab on to those incidents. If we are truly skillful, if our mind is truly skillful, then no matter what the other person does, still we can navigate it skillfully. Some friction will be there, but you can navigate with much less friction, right? So this is the very idea. It's your skill, not somebody else's fault. If you are saying somebody else created a mess in your life, maybe you are not skillful dealing with that person. So that's the very idea you are saying. Earlier you labeled them as difficult people. You had strong perceptions about them. But now you feel less friction. You can somehow manage them. So that's the very skill. That's how the wisdom is appearing in one's mind. When I say wisdom, you have to understand it's not the thinking processes. It's not the knowledge, right? When you are wise, you know how to deal in your own mind. That's why I think Rumi is saying, yesterday I was smart, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself. Right? So that's the difference. Yesterday you wanted to change the world. Today you are changing yourself. So what happens when your mind is not getting triggered? Whatever the other people say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right? That's the true idea. Now, I was watching this one of these YouTube videos recently, and it was more like a discussion and with a woke activist, right? So they are asking what's a woman? That's their question. So somebody else is saying, someone with XY chromosomes, right? So that's the idea given. And that activist, she got mad because of this answer. She got mad. Then they're asking, what about the trans people? Why can't you include them? Blah, 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 they were saying. But that other person, he was saying, it's your fault that you are finding fault in this. It's your issue, not my issue. These are more like basic questions about humanity. How would you have doubts about it? So there was a struggle, but his point was that it's your problem that you are finding this threatening. I can say whatever, I can say whatever, but you are getting triggered because of your fault, your weakness. So that's the very idea. If we are getting triggered by somebody else's comments, then it's our fault, not theirs. We are weak. We are not strong dealing with them. So that's the idea. So in your own report, you can find that information that you are becoming more and more skillful. Yesterday, you wanted to change the world, probably change those difficult people. But now today, you are changing yourself. It's work in progress, but still you see the results. That's what matters. And when you see the results, then you know that the practice works. You know that the future would be much better. You'll become more and more skillful. So thank you for sharing. Continue with your practice. And when you continue, you can feel, you can experience it more and more.
Thank you, Bhante, for that valuable advice and for the wonderful report that we received, which really highlights very well the talk Bhante gave today. That's it for the reports. We can now open the discussion to any questions or if there's anything anybody wants to say. If you can kindly raise your Zoom hand, we will ask you to unmute. Thank you. We will give you a few minutes. Yes, Hiranti, you've got your Zoom hand up. If you can unmute and ask your question, please.
Thank you. Therwan Sarnai Bhante, are you saying if somebody is accusing you of anything, not to reply to that accusation, just to accept it and just ignore it? I'm not very clear in dealing, because there are some people who are doing exactly what they are, how do I say that? They are doing the wrong thing and they are asking you not to do it, if you see what I mean. And they have a different lifestyle. They have a way of thinking. Obviously, they are not mindful. They are not in Dhamma or anything. But are you saying just be quiet, not responding?
Okay, being a mute won't do anything, because still your mind is struggling. Your mind is angry. Right, so not responding, being silent won't do, right? That could be used as a tool, but it's not a lasting tool. Someday you'll get into an argument. When you get into an argument, you'll even it'll be worse, because now you kept your silence for a while, you have all this accumulated hate, and you'll release it all at once. So we are not encouraging being a mute. That's not how the practice works. Otherwise, not talking, everybody will be peaceful, right? Being blind, you won't get triggered from the world. That's not how it works. Even Buddha, he was saying, if that works, even then the blind people, they too are enlightened. The deaf people, they too are enlightened. That's not Buddha's way. Instead, imagine now your mind is getting triggered. But if you continue a practice for a while, if it is not getting triggered, then you have various options. Let's say it's a hateful comment, right? So if you are getting triggered, if there is annoyance in your mind, you have only one option. What is that option? To blame them back, or the hatred, right? So that's your option. That's your option if you are getting triggered. But if your mind is not getting triggered, you have more options become available to you. What are the more options? Usually, we can be neutral about it. Being neutral, somebody said something, but you didn't care. Somebody came and blamed, you didn't care, right? I remember this one incident where here in our monastery, we were having a discussion about something. Probably there was like three of us in the library, right? So it was a bit loud. When somebody got mad because of we being loud, right? So that person came and blamed us. This is the library, you shouldn't be talking. But it's a library in the monastery, so we are not encouraging reading books even, right? So that person came and blamed us. But the people who were having the discussion, they didn't even flinch, you know, they didn't even give any attention to that person. So he came, he blamed us, then he went away, like nothing happened, right? So being neutral is another option. Then again, you can say something positive about that comment, you know. That's the best way to deal with these things. But only if your mind is not getting triggered. If your mind is getting triggered, these options are not available for you. Although you stay mute, still there's a struggle in your mind, right? So let's say somebody is coming and blaming you. Hateful comment, right? Still you are saying, through my fault, I have done this and that. Something like that. In a way, sarcastically you are saying, right? So you are approving their comment and say, even saying something on top of that, right? Imagine that type of a reaction. Then they will become confused, because you went and blamed them. Then now this person is saying something on top of that as well, right? So those are various options that become available to you if your mind is not getting triggered. If your mind is getting triggered, of course, then you have only one option. Whether you stay mute or not, it doesn't matter. You are agitated in your mind. You are angry in your mind. So this comes as a result of the practice. That's what I want to emphasize. You can't directly go into an argument and, you know, find options there. That's not how it works. Instead, continue with your formal practice, and one day, even without you planning, you might come to realize that I had an argument with this person, but I didn't get triggered.
Oh, see.
Of the practice, not by thinking, not by planning, but instead, you continued your sitting and walking practice, and as a result, you get this ability to respond more wisely. That's the idea. So try with the formal meditation, continue with your practice. With time, you'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just then it will pass. I mean, if you just...
You have to experience. You have to experience and see. This is a very... You can't convey it in words. We are trying. 1.5 hours, we are trying. But still, you have to experience it to figure it out exactly. Now, there was this retreat, probably a week back, and one person, he came and asked few questions, theoretical questions, you know, like, should we call this the mind? Or is there a soul? And what happens to mindfulness when you sleep? All these questions, like theoretical questions. So if I started answering those questions, I might have to spend like 30, 40 minutes, and I won't do a good job answering them. Instead, I told him, you are talking about these big ideas. Can you at least walk and tell us that you could take one conscious step? Can you at least sit and tell us that you could take one conscious breath? That's the starting point. If you kept asking those questions, no point, it won't work. So that person, he accepted. I didn't know whether he truly accepted, but he accepted and he went away. That's how you have to approach this. Otherwise, we know these big words like mind, soul, fullness, all these things are there. But without experiencing, how can you say? How can you convey it to somebody else? So that's the very idea of the practice. And that's the most interesting part of the practice. Although we try, you have to practice and experience. When you practice and experience, you realize, I heard about this before, but when I experience it, it's totally different. My experience is unique, not the way that was conveyed in the words. That's how it is. Even mindfulness, I say mindfulness all the time. Mindfulness, mindfulness, mindfulness. But when you practice only, you'll realize the meaning of that word. You'll realize it in a unique way. All of us, we don't realize it in the same way. That's not how it works. And you'll have a different idea about mindfulness. Somebody else will have a different idea about mindfulness. That's how the practice is. The practice is unique. The path is unique to you. So what we have to do is that you have to show them this is how you should be practicing. This is how the practice is. You practice and you tell us what mindfulness is for you. Not mindfulness for me, but mindfulness is for you. That's how the practice is. That's the idea of these reports, discussions, everything. So you can start with your formal practice, continue with it. And when you continue, one day you'll come to realize the answer for this question, or rather experience the answer for this question.
Thank you, Bhante. Therwan Sarnai. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you, Hiranti, for that great question. And thanks, Bhante, for that wonderful explanation. We next have Samantha, who's got her Zoom hand up. If you can kindly unmute and ask your question, please.
Thank you, Anupama. This is not my question, by the way, but just commenting to Hiranti's question, because I too had the same experience, in fact, yesterday, and I ended up seething, going to bed really angry because of the same sad family member that I had said something that was really unreasonable, and I could feel that it was really working in me because it was so not really correct. And so that was my opinion, I know, but still I couldn't just keep quiet and not say anything. And I talked back, but obviously it got out of, it got worse. And in the end, I end up being very annoyed and upset. So I just thought, how could I have reacted better? Because I was thinking, I'm grinding my teeth and trying to keep my mouth shut. But then I would be sort of like afterwards, really didn't stay with the feeling and see it, this lesson pass away maybe, and see, which in the end, when I was calmer, I realized, that was a silly thing. I should have just get, it was so silly comment that it wasn't even worthwhile saying anything about it. But nevertheless, there was suffering there. But even though the suffering is not there now, that's the comment before I go on to my next question. Yeah, would that be the right way of dealing with it, Bhante?
So that's an experience for you to learn. So next time also, maybe same mistake. But still, you can... So this is how we practice. Even that argument, it's a moment of the practice. Maybe you couldn't navigate properly, but still, at least when you reflect, you know that you did something wrong. And next time, you are better prepared. So that's how we have to continue meditation. It's not only sitting or walking. Instead, these occasions are also meditation. And the irony is that they don't come pre-planned. You don't get an opportunity to plan and argue. Instead, it happens.
Yeah.
When you are least prepared, it happens. Right? Mm. But can you do? You only have the tool of mindfulness, being aware. So you remember the very first report that person is saying that we could be mindful and face these situations. That's the only way, because you can't plan for them. You don't know what's around the corner. Mm. Things, they don't come with prior notice. So only option is being mindful, right? Whatever happens, just mindful and see what's the way to navigate. So when you are being mindful, maybe still you make mistakes. You get carried away. But still, it's an opportunity for you to learn. Tomorrow, it's another fresh day. It's a new day. Again, you can start. Next moment, it's another press opportunity. Right? So that's why you are gathering skill. These are moments of meditation. That's what I want to emphasize. Meditation, it's not only walking, sitting. Instead, even these moments, there are opportunities for you to meditate. By meditation, I mean being mindful and navigating skillfully. That's what is needed.
Yeah, but that's, I think that on reflection now, I think that's, I need to strengthen my practice further, and I guess my big ego, my ego got in the way. That really sort of like, the wanting and the hurt, etc. But yeah, just quickly, Bhante. So my question today is, I was just wondering why the mind doesn't want to be in the present. It's just when I'm in the present, sometimes it can be boring, but I have noticed that when I'm in the present, there's peace and calmness in the mind. But why the mind is always, because as was fluctuating towards the past and the future, it doesn't, like, the body is always in the present. The body is just getting on with it, whatever's happening in the present moment. But the mind is always fleeting, because of the, I suppose, as Bhante was saying, explaining today, because the craving and the desires and the wanting between the past and the future. Why is naturally the mind does not want to be in the present moment? Are we evolved that way habitually because of the craving?
Right, so you know that the mind is peaceful in the present moment, but it doesn't want to stay in the present moment. So we can say because the power of habit, it doesn't want to stay in the present moment, right? Or otherwise we can say, you have past causes. Due to the past causes, the mind, it doesn't want to stay in the present moment. The body is always present. Mm-hmm. You could have there are no incidents that the body traveled into the past or the future. It is always present. It's only our mind that goes here and there. Mm-hmm. And due to the past causes or the power of habit, it doesn't want to be present, right? So that's your current situation. Now, for the future, what is the cause? The present moment is the cause for the future. Of course, the past matters, but you have an option. You have an authority in the present moment. That is the cause for the future, right? So if meditation means you are training yourself. You are training your mind to be present. Even a conscious step, a single step, it matters. A single conscious breath, it matters. A conscious step you are taking, it matters. You are creating causes for the future, for a better future. And you realize that mind is accepting the present moment more and more in the future because of this training. So present moment, it has past causes, right? For the future, the present moment will be the cause, right? So that's how the training comes in. That's what the training is. If it is a power of habit, you can train it to be present in the present moment. You can't train it in the past. You can't train it in the future. You have to do it here and now. When you do it here and now, you'll realize you are headed for a better future. In the future, due to this training, your mind will be more and more present. present.
Mm. Yeah, I see, Bhante. Yeah. So the more you keep practicing and showing the mind to be in the present, and the mind sees that that is more peaceful and calm, then gradually the mind will fall into that and be happy being in that present moment, moving forward. I get the impression. Yeah, thank you, Bhante. Yeah, I'll continue with the practice. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha, for that. We've got Buddhika, hand is up. Do we have time now, Samantha, for another question? Or Bhante?
That's fine, we can take one more.
Yes. Okay, thank you. If you kindly ask a question now, please.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. Therwan Sarnai Bhante Avsarai. I rather wanted to make a comment regarding today's Dhamma talk and a few questions that has been discussed. I think with what Bhante mentioned today, what I have taken from the talk is the fact that we don't realize, I mean, it's kind of very insightful to let us know. Sometimes we always, not sometimes, most of the times we put the blame on outside. We don't see the things that we do that might create a scene as well. You know, our contribution to the scene, we don't see that. We always, if something goes wrong, we always put the blame on the other side, whether it is a material, immaterial, or some person or any situation, we always try to defend ourselves. So that was a highlight for me today talk. Although we meditate, it's the habit of doing this. It is difficult. It is so strong, so it's difficult to notice. And I noticed that today. That was the highlight of the talk for me. And I also would like to share quickly my experience with the discussion, the talks that was going on with the questions. I believe like we all come to any Dhamma talk or any Desana with the certain level of practice and the knowledge and insight that we gain through the practice, and that is very different to each other. If I say an analogy, if you go to get some tea from a jar, we all might carry different size of container or a cup or a jar or a glass. So our knowledge will be according to our practice. So we understand and comprehend in a different level. So perhaps like Bhante is advising us, we might not understand, but if we practice and take with Shraddha, Bhante's words and advice and practice, probably we can comprehend it or understand it ourselves or through practice. And because I have seen, I could go back and reflect on few incidents in my day-to-day lives. There were certain times that through when I started meditation, I thought, okay, sila is needed, so I'm not doing any karma by words, through words, and I will move out. I will stay silent. There were occasions I could mindfully do that, but there were occasions without me realizing I am being removed by the body, like, just walk off. I had not even had a thought of walking out of the situation, but I have walked off without realizing. Halfway walking only, I realized I have walked out of the situation. What a good thing. So that was not in my control. And second, those are two incidents. And the third one is, even sometimes I am very calm, quiet, there are situations to minor things, very little things I wouldn't otherwise react, but I have exploded in an unexpected way. And that was also out of my control. So I thought of sharing all these things to say that there is a limit that we can control. There is a certain way that our body also functions. And I think it is all through practice. We go through all these things, and it's just being aware and having Shraddha when we listen to Dharma talk and take advice. Probably that will be... that was helpful to me, so I thought I would share that today. Thank you very much, Bhante, and thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you for sharing experiences, valid options, valid experiences. Now, this is how the practice works. Now, very first one you mentioned, instead of bringing our attention to the outside things, we bring our attention to the inside. Instead of seeing other person's hateful comments, we see our contribution to it. So that's the very idea of the practice. Our mind, it is usually going outwards, but the practice is bringing it inwards. That's the idea. Even the very first report today we had, something related was mentioned. Instead of mind going outwards, due to the practice, it comes inwards, right? So that's the very idea. When it comes inwards, you see your contribution. You see how much triggered you are due to this situation. You see maybe even the breath you feel. The body is breathing, right? So those are, that's how the practice evolves, right? That is the very idea of the practice. Instead of directing our attention outwards, we bring our attention inwards. When you bring our attention inwards, you see the real cause. Right, so that's valid. Then the second one, it's always work in progress. You know, today we know something, today we experience something, today we grasp something, but tomorrow, again, another opportunity, it's a continuous process. Important parts of this process is meditation. That's one of the priorities. As formal and day-to-day practice, you have to meditate. Then again, you have to come and share your experience like this, right? This. Then probably even listen to a Dhamma talk, a talk about the practice. So this way, it's more like a loop. Again and again, we go through this loop. Things you don't understand today, you'll understand tomorrow. Things you don't understand tomorrow, you'll understand day after tomorrow. So always we are evolving in the practice. Always we are learning in the practice. So that's how the true practice is. It's a never-ending process. Think about meditation as living, right? If the meditation is living, then there is no end goal. Instead, it's the whole process. That's the idea. So you are becoming more and more skillful. Of course, you make mistakes. Of course, you get carried away. Even the good meditators, they get carried away. You don't even know what hits you. Right? So that's how it is. We take that opportunity as a lesson and we move forward. Again, tomorrow, it will be a fresh day, a fresh opportunity. So that way, you have to continue. That way you have to continue. Even today's, the things we discussed in today's program, maybe tomorrow you'll get an insight into it. Right? So that's how it is. Let's say in a lab, you try to invent something. For hours and hours you work, but at the end of the day, you are sick and tired. You give up. And you go to a pub, right? There you come into a realization, right? Let's say even in the practice, you sit, you try to achieve something in meditation, right? You try, you get sick and tired, you get up, you go, you sit in the toilet, and there the realization comes. So that's how it works. right? No longer you are forceful, the realization will come, right? So sleep and tomorrow you'll get grasp this much better, right? Meditate, tomorrow you'll grasp this much better. Continue for a week. Again, when you think about it, you grasp it much better. So that's the evolution in the practice. Again and again, we are refining. Again and again, we are becoming more and more skillful. So you have to allow that process to happen. But most of us, we try to force it. That's the issue. We don't allow this natural process. We don't allow this natural evolution. We need sudden results. Within a day, what can I gain from meditation? Within a week, what can I gain from meditation? 1 hour of sitting, what can I gain? That's the desire that's talking. You said you do it as a part of your daily schedule. You spend 40 minutes walking, 40 minutes sitting. Do that part. Do your homework. Then continue with your life. Continue for a few months. Then suddenly you realize you are experiencing the world or the life in a totally different way. Maybe earlier you were full of lust. You are suffering due to the lust. Now the lustful thoughts doesn't last. They come and go, but they are not occupying much space. So you see, that's the way you experience life. Totally changed. You have changed. You are a new person. You are not experiencing the life the same way as you used to do. That's a result of the practice. As a result of the practice, get into an argument, you are not the same person. A few months ago, you can navigate it much skillfully as a result of the practice. So that's how we see the results, not by, you know, targeting them, going for the results, asking what this can bring me. That's not how it works. Instead, you keep on practicing, you do your part, then continue, allow it to mature. Like a tree grows, gradually the practice is growing. You can't force it. You do your part, you let it be. Tomorrow also you do your part, you let it be. Continue for a few months, suddenly it hits you that the tree has grown so much. So that's the very idea. Thank you for sharing those insightful comments.
Thank you very much, Pante, and to everyone for the wonderful questions and the discussion, which is certainly very helpful to all of us. So with this, we conclude the Q&A session. I will hand over to Namantha now. Much merits to you all and have a good week.
Thank you very much, Anupama, and much merits to you too. And much merits to Bhante, and thank you, Bhante. A very insightful question and answer session there. Now we are slightly over time as well, and I would like to move the session to a close. I would like to associate merits gained in this exercise to Venerable Bhante, Homa Gambudang Makusulatero from Nisaranwane Forest Monastery, and I hope that Bhante's own practice will keep on improving as the result from these merits. And I would also like to wish the Chief Abbot of the Nisaranwane Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiri Dhammajaya Mahathero, to share in these merits and also to gain valued progress in his own practice. Furthermore, I would also like to thank all the organizers of this program who are working on the background to sustain this program. And I share these merits to all of them and wish that their own mindfulness practices will improve with wisdom. And I would also like to thank and share merits with all of you who are joining through Zoom and through the Facebook live stream, because you are the audience for this program. And I would wish that all of your efforts in mindfulness will be with benefits and with progress into the future, and that you will be able to continue logging into this session to learn these insights from Bhante. Now, the program will continue as normal next week, same time. And I would like to wish you all a mindful and happy week ahead, and we will see you next week. I will end the Zoom session now. Thank you.